right. Well, welcome to the Alaska Works podcast. I'm your host, Xavier Schley. I'm with Ron Pitchler.
Hey, everybody. We're here today to talk with Mr. Carlos Gomez, who's coming in to enlighten us a little bit about what got him to Alaska and got him in the construction industry up here, as well as a little bit of his family history and the things he's done for everybody in construction and Alaska hockey. So, Carlos, how are you doing?
I'm fine. Thanks for the invite.
How long have you been in Alaska?
I've been here 46 years, going on 46 years.
And what brought you up?
I came up in the summers of 68 and 69. My older brother came for construction right after the earthquake.
Oh, yeah.
So I was still in high school, came up in 68 and 69.
From where?
From San Diego. Okay. I grew up in San Diego. Graduated in 71 and went to college for a quarter and quit and come up here, and I've been here since 1972. Never left. If you would have told me I'd still be here, I would have told you you're nuts.
Yeah. You, and you started out, when you came up originally, what construction activity did you get yourself involved in?
Right. When I came up, during the summers, I was a dishwasher at the old Hilton.
Uh-huh.
And then when I came up in 72, I got working for Joe's Asphalt as a laborer in construction. I worked 2 years as a laborer and then got in the ironworkers Local 751 in 1974 and worked ironwork for 28 years. And one of the lucky ones, I was able to retire at 50, took an early retirement, and didn't miss the work, but I sure missed the camaraderie, man. It was a lot of fun. I had a great time. 28 years as an ironworker was a lot of fun.
You know, anybody that I've interviewed from the unions, that's the one thing they all say. Like, I don't necessarily miss doing the work every day, but I miss being around all the guys.
Yeah, I had told my wife at around 45, I said, you know, if I can reach 50 without hurting myself, I'm going to get out. And obviously with my son going pro and everything, that didn't hurt either. But I was one of the lucky ones that was able to get out with my fingers and my toes. And, you know, we all got bad backs, but who doesn't, right? If you work construction,
yeah,
pretty good chances you're going to have a bad back. But other than that, been pretty healthy.
What major projects were you working on in the?
You know, I was one of them guys that I worked pretty much if there was work. I worked welded on the Arco building, which is now the Conoco building, the Hunt building. The only big building I didn't work was the sports arena, and that was probably closest to my house there in City View. But the expansion, I connected the steel on the third phase of the Captain Cook. And, you know, go on and on and on. Worked, you know, luckily with me, the state, you know, the union, we were, we had jurisdiction as the state, so I was able to travel quite a bit, and that was a lot of fun. Nome, Kotzebue, Southeast, Aleutian Chain, you know, just like all construction workers.
You got to see
you go where the work's at. When you're raising a family, you don't ask, you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's true. Well, anything else on construction there that you might want to elaborate on?
No, just, you know, like I said, I had a great time. Alaska was, you know, construction-wise, was very good to me, and I got in right at the right time, 74, the pipeline started in 77. Mm-hmm. So did real good. Construction was very good to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, then we can move comfortably into our other wheelhouse of these podcasts. Ron and I, when we do these, they tend to be fairly hockey-centric.
Yeah, we kind of get sideways on the ice hockey.
On the hockey,
you know?
I can get the BSing on that, too. Yeah. I got some stories, as you know well. Ron and I go back. I used to be a manager of his kid when he played for the All-Stars.
Yeah, we had some real good times.
Remember Tijuana?
Yes, I do remember Tijuana. Tijuana was a good time. We can talk about most of that, the kids really, Carlos, just real quick, the kids were playing in a regional tournament down in El Segundo, California. They were a midget AAA team he was managing, and we did get out of the tournament a little bit early, which was unfortunate for the boys. But Carlos and his the generous person that he is invited us all to go to his birth city, Tijuana, and so a handful of us jumped in a van that he grabbed and he took us to Tijuana, and we stopped in San Diego and picked up his brother, and we ended up in Tijuana late at night on a Saturday night, and he took us all to a great restaurant, and the boys really got to see the sights of Tijuana, and it was quite an evening.
It was unfortunate because I wanted to take most of the team, and I had permission from the parents, and somehow or another the coaches got involved, and they wouldn't let the kids go, which was really disappointing because I wanted them to see, you know, part of the third world, and because
especially
I lived
kids
in Tijuana,
from Alaska, you know,
at one time I used to live down there, and I thought that was really interesting, but unfortunately the coaches got involved and the politics, and even though we had permission to take some of them kids down, we ended up Ron's kid and Braden's kid.
Braden.
So two Jed sets
McGlassen.
Of parents, and then and
McGlassen
Jed from Kenai. So anyway, four kids went down there. We had we had a great evening, and again go to a border town, third world country.
Yeah.
It was fun. I know I had a blast.
Oh yeah, no, those kids still tell stories about that. So it's always good. But those are hockey road trips, you know.
Exactly.
We try to. You know, what goes on the road stays on the road, but that's one that's told. So it's a good one.
But it's just like anywhere you go. If you go with someone that's from there or been there and knows the ropes,
it's a totally different trip.
It's a totally different trip.
Yeah, that was real exciting and interesting.
Well, tell me a little bit about the foundation.
The foundation started on the premise of giving back to the community. Obviously, Scott's career took off, and when he signed his second contract, his big one, we, sat down and, my son, he now appreciates it. I think at that time he didn't really know what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he had so much stuff going on. It was just more or less my doing, with his support, because without his name, we wouldn't be anything.
Mm-hmm.
I come from as Ron said, I went to Tijuana. I come from a pretty humble background, it's about giving back, and I was in a position to give back through Scott, and that's what it was about. I mean, I know that Scott, when he started hockey, I got him involved, took him to the Boys and Girls Club because the gear was free,
mm-hmm.
And I was third in line with my cup of coffee with my paper on Saturday. And that was, why I got in, because of free gear. Hey, let's check it out. And then I was in a position to do something. We started the foundation, had some good sponsors behind us, some good friends, Mike O'Connor from Peak Oilfields being one of them. And we got to talking, hey, how can we raise some money, blah, blah, blah. And at that time, I got persuaded to do a golf tournament, which I'm not a golfer. I have no idea, nothing about golf. But that was the one that really generated a lot of, got us started in the foundation, generated a lot of income, and we just, after 10 years, we gave it up because it had run its course like everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But, so consequently, because I retired from the ironworkers, I had plenty of time on my hands, and I got more and more involved with Scott's dealings. At one time, I was actually his agent, and it gave me a lot of contacts and was able to raise some a good chunk of money, And we're still in business. Foundation, Scotty Gomez Foundation, has been in business 12 years now. And again, we don't fundraise like we used to do. We used to be all over the place, as the community knows. And you see me walk in the door like, oh God, here he comes. what's he want? And I think those days are over with. We're down to two events, the Pond Hockey Classic, and I do a high school alumni tournament in November, which is a statewide alumni tournament, which is very, very popular. And I think, personally, I think it's one of the better tournaments.
Yeah, and it's a premier tournament with,
and that's
with
all we
local
do.
Talent.
We do two events, but we still give up to $50,000-$60,000 a year to the hockey community.
Yeah, and can you talk a little bit about the stuff that you do for the hockey community? Because Ron and I have talked at length about how expensive hockey's become and has made it.
The
kind
majority
of
our money, is we subsidize the Scotty Gomez Foundation Hockey Association. In other words, we have our own hockey association called the Rams, and it's a house program. Most of our kids that we've gone as high as 180 kids, and most of them are subsidized. Unfortunately, it used to be free. The first 3 or 4 years, it was all free. But, you know, we got so many kids now that we just can't afford it. So our kids do pay a little bit. They pay probably about a third of what everybody else pays, subsidized. But at the same time, I think we have now 150 this year. And out of 150, if it wasn't for us stepping up and helping them out, I'd say about 130 wouldn't be skating at all.
Gear too, right? You provide gear too in
some
cases.
Yeah, we provide all the gear. And then, you know, we're constantly, you know, people donate gear, we buy gear, whatever it takes. But we do definitely the gear, we loan it out for the year. And, you know how it is, some return, some don't. But they get the gear. And then, again, we, you know, the people that can't pay, we pretty much take care of their hockey bill. And so far it's worked. And it's about giving kids an opportunity to play. And again, it's a house program. But having said that, five of our kids now are skating comp.
I've talked to some of your parents too, and they all say that. They said if this program wasn't around,
exactly,
their kids wouldn't
be playing
hockey.
There's a kid out there. He just needs an opportunity, and that's what we do. We're not trying to make him pros or just say, you know, here's the gear. And because I say in the end, get them involved in hockey. It is an expensive sport. It doesn't have to be that expensive, but, you know, what I don't want it is to turn into an elitist sport. And that's what I'm afraid of, you know, the way it's going with the comp division stuff that, some are not playing high school. They're, you know, strictly all hockey, and they travel, you know, 5 or 6, 7 times. I know their bills got to be $15,000.
Yeah.
So then again, easily, it goes back to the elitist sport. Do we really want that? And I'm doing my part to prevent it. Not to prevent it. But just to get started, keep the house programs live, and in the end, like I always say, they're going to end up in the beer league anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe with any luck, one or two make it the big time, but in the end,
they're
going to be in the beer league, giggling, laughing, and that's what it's about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's a fact.
Well, and a lot of what you're gaining if your kid plays hockey, you know, in addition to the athletics, is that kid's learning about sort of working towards a goal and not giving up. They're learning about leadership. Like, there's all kinds of things kids learn, even if they don't go pro, you know.
And then with our kids, with me being involved, I mean, I'm not saying we hold them to a higher standard, but again, I come from a background that, you know, I fought for everything I got. I didn't have a father. And, it's tough. It's tough, you know, when you're one of them kids that looks around and you don't have a dad, you know, or parents. And so coming from that background, I make sure that these kids, work their butts off. I mean, hey, we're helping you here, but you know, you got to put the work into it. And also we always check on them, how they're doing in school, you know, and just making sure, you know, just we have taken some kids off the ice, you know, when they completely get totally out of hand, you know, we will take the ice away from them. And the key is that once they become involved in hockey, boy, they'll do anything for hockey. And so we keep a pretty tight grip on our kids. I mean, we're not perfect by no means. We have our problems just like other organizations. But, with me being involved, like, again, I'm going to help them out, everything I can do, but it carries a price. You got to behave, you know, and be kind to your parents and show some respect. And we're not perfect, but we sure try hard.
Yeah, it's nice that you're able to, you know, your foundation there is able to get the kids started, because kids like that need the help, you know, they go to an organization like that and they'll get the discipline that they need. They'll gain the respect and be respectful at the same time. And, you know, they just become better people. Yeah. And that's what we need. That's why we'd like to see. That's why we like to see youth hockey and youth programs continue and see more of them. And I totally understand what you're saying when you say the comp programs can get a little too elitist. We all like to get to that level. Your son was at that level and went beyond it.
And you know, speaking of the comp leagues, and that's okay, you know. I mean, hey, you're just like everyone else. Everybody bitches about the price of hockey, but if they had the resources, they'd probably be doing it too.
Sure, yeah.
So, but having said that, don't bring everyone, you know, bring down because, you know, for a group of 20 kids, don't bring all the programs down. You know what I'm saying? That's the only thing I have a problem with some of the comp teams is that, or some is that, hey, more power to you. Go for it. I hope you make it. But don't come down on the rest of the kids. They're just, you know, don't look down on them. You know what I'm saying? Everybody deserves a chance. And again, you know, Scott being one of them. Scott was a blue-collar kid, you know, and I got involved in the comp division. Like, I just freaked out. I couldn't believe, you know, the stuff that went on. But, you know, again, I was blue-collar. I was the only blue-collar on the team.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And I can remember this team was so terrible. Scott broke in with the boys' club, and he skated about 6 years with the boys' club, well, maybe four or five. And his team, they had a coach that he couldn't coach today. You know, he was just rough on him. You know, he'd stand over him, get up, you rock. And being an iron worker, I mean, I thought, hey, this is cool. So this, I'm not saying this coach is abusive, but boy, that team was good. They had the drive. And I remember them playing against some of the comp teams and beating the comp teams. So when Scott got at the age that everybody, oh, he's got to go comp, and they talked me into going comp. You know, his first year they had a terrible comp team. I'm not going to mention the coaches, but they're still around. But it was just a terrible. And that comp team used to play Scott's old boys club team and get beat. So you can imagine, here I left the boys and girls club for nothing. That they probably
shelled out a bunch of money.
And shelled out a bunch of money, and they're getting whooped by the boys and girls club. And then I think they might have, I'm not kidding you, they were bad. They might have won one or two games the whole year. And then at the end of the season, you know, the parents have the meeting. And this is, I always like to tell this story because it's my introduction to comp hockey. Again, keep in mind I was the only blue collar, you know, I voted no on everything. And anyway, they decide to give these kids a trophy.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, trophy? These kids deserve a spanking, if anything. You know? Anyway, they got it. And they didn't just get them a participating trophy. They got them a huge one. And then, you know, that's funny, but that wasn't the end of it. They sent them to a tournament in Vancouver. Keep this team, honestly, this team didn't win one or two games the whole year. And then they sent them to Vancouver. And I just flipped out, and being a hypocrite that I am, I guess, I went on the trip to Vancouver. I can tell you that was 29 years ago because my daughter, Natalie, was born while Scott and I were in Vancouver. But that was my introduction to comp hockey. I said, holy smokes. But, you know, after that, what saved Scott's hockey career is that after his first year of comp, I moved out to the Valley, and I opened up a little restaurant up at the Pioneer Square Mall. And he went. He skated at Matsu Valley for a couple of years. Costs were very reasonable. And that's what, you know, that when we came back after 2 years, and then the comp teams are ready for him, you know. But, you know, who knows? If, you know, that second year, I'm not too sure he would have skated comp. He would have gone back to his old boys and girls club. And, you know, it's all timing and luck and just, you know, how it is. It's how the cards fall, right?
Yeah.
And that's how the cards fell for Scott.
Managing him when you were I remember when you were just starting that. I think he'd been playing in New Jersey, and you were kind of handling him at the time. How was that?
That was one of the craziest times, because one thing with Scott, I was, again, I grew up without a father, and I was pretty athletic, and you know, always, you know, everybody had their dad, and that was weird. It was kind of weird. Never had my parents. My mom was never involved in my life as far as the sports and stuff. So when you know, I just love sports. I grew up right in front of a rec center across the street. That's what saved my world. Is a few times that I did live with my mother. We lived right across the rec center. I lived at the rec center. From 3 o'clock, I'd come home and, you know, get out of school. 3 o'clock at the rec center, come and eat whatever food there was, and go back till 9 o'clock.
Yeah, same with me at the Boys and Girls Club.
So I just
loved that was it. In San Diego. There,
that was in
you Pacific, drove us by your school
in
there,
Pacific Beach.
Yeah.
Pacific, right across from Pacific Beach Junior High. But that was what saved my butt, and obviously the love of sports. And so when I had when Scott being my only son, I got two daughters, and Scott being my only son, and I was, you know, I love sports, and Scott got it from me, the love of sports. You know, he'd go to the bathroom with a newspaper, sports section, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you used to do
before
the internet come around. But with Scott, I was always involved as far as calling the shots, because I always coached baseball, I coached football. I was always pretty much a coach all the time. But I never coached him until later on when he was 13 or 14. Then I happened to land some big jobs here in town. I worked on the Native Hospital and an iron worker there. I was there 33 months, if you can believe that.
Wow.
And that's where I was able to enjoy Scott's high school career, because I was home. And then right before that, I worked on the roundhouse at Alyeska.
Mm-hmm.
And that was cool, because that was 14 months there. So I went from 14 months to 33 months. I mean, I was on a roll for about 5 years. I worked in town, which I never had done that. So I was able to enjoy Scott's career. But, with Scott, I was very involved as far as keeping him on a tight leash, he's my son. I always, understanding with him is this world is full of jerks and you're not going to be one of them. So, didn't keep alcohol around the house. I mean, I'm not going to say as an iron worker I didn't drink, but we, just kind of kept everything under control and kept him under control and make sure he didn't become a big head, And I remember most of his, a couple of times I had a reminder that he was acting like a rich kid, because he started feeling privileged and, hey, wait a minute, we live in City View and you're not going to, anyway, I can pull his ear a little bit so I kept a tight grip. I always made all the calls for him, as far as him going to juniors, I was pretty active there. I never got active on his, as far as telling the coaches what to do or anything. I was not one of them parents. I respect the coaching profession. I remember one coach asking me when Scott was, 13, 14, 15 years old, I forget what it was, but he asked me if he could bench Scott. And I just kind of, I looked at him, I said, "You got to be kidding me." He goes, "What, Mr. Gomez?" I said, "Are you the coach or what?" And he says, "Well, yeah." I said, "Then what the hell are you asking me for? I'm just a parent." And from there on, I mean, our relationship, with that coach, he just took off. Because my job was to drop the kid off at the rink.
Yeah.
I used to love Dempsey because I'd go across the street to Cars and get my blueberry muffin, my cup of coffee, and read the paper for an hour, right? I never was involved in his practice. I didn't care. All his tournaments outside, I never went to them. I couldn't afford it. But having said that, I love hockey. I love the behind the scenes. I love the coaching aspect of it. And I got pretty involved with him where in the end, after his second contract, I actually, did the negotiating. I actually became his agent. And I, be truthful, I really dug it. It was, put me in a whole different world. And a lot of people, I'm not asking for credit, but a lot of people don't realize that it was a big thing. I put my head on a guillotine, demanding for Scott's rights and on a national level. And hell, if I would have failed, I would have ended up on SportsCenter being another LeVar. Mm-hmm. What's his name? LeVar Ball,
For sure.
But I stuck up for my kid. I think, he was the New Jersey Devils at that time with Lou Lamoriello were considered one of the most frugal teams in the league. And what happened with Scott, the crazy story is that he had a just crazy his career, how it took off. I mean, who would have believed it,
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it just took off, and next thing you know, he's Rookie of the Year. But to make a long story short, every rookie that comes in under a 3-year contract. They call it the opening contract. It's got a term for it. But anyway, they come under 3 years. In the 3 years that Scott's contract expired, he was making $650, which is a lot of money. But in the 3 years they'd won the Stanley Cup. He was Rookie of the Year, and in the 3 years his rookie group, he was number one in points. Okay, of all his rookie year. Okay, Simone Gagné from Philadelphia, his second contract, he turned down $2 million per year. Okay, that's 200 miles down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And Scott was offered $700,000. So discrepancy of $1.3 million.
Yeah.
Of two players 200 miles away, but different organizations. And I had talked to his agents. His agents were always picking my brain. And just, I love talking hockey, and I kind of half-assed knew what I was talking about. And they picked my brain when I was in California, when Scott used to play in California. I'd go down there, take my family. At one time, there was about 70 of us down, 70 Mexicans at a hockey game. That was kind of cool. But I remember talking to his agents, and then we sat down and said, "Yeah, we're going to ask for $1.5 million, which was, it wasn't excessive. It was reasonable. And anyway, when push come to shove, the Devils offered him maximum $700,000. That's what you're going to play for. And I remember his agents, I'm not even going to tell you who his agent was, but he's big now, but they were, you know, they say, Carlos, you know, we can't do, you know, Lou Lamoriello is the toughest and he's not going to give us anything. And, you know, we got to play for this. And I said, well, what happened to the conversation we had back in Los Angeles that Scott was going to get 1.5? Well, you know, and I knew how the process worked, that in 5 years, Scott would be eligible for arbitration, which, you know, as you well know, in the unions, in arbitration, you take it out of the, there is negotiation. It's an arbitrator. He decides. So there is no big secret to it. So that's how I became his agent, because in the end, I told him that Scott was not going to play for $700,000, period. As a parent, I was telling his agent, I was telling his agents, and in the end, you're not going to believe this, but I was actually talking to Lou Lamoriello, the general manager, as a parent. And, you know, the respect was there between him and I, because when the Devils drafted Scott, I called him, thanked him, you know, for drafting him. When they signed him, I thanked him and we became pretty good friends. He's a big baseball fan, and so am I, Lou Lamoriello. So when I visit the Devils training camp, or, you know, he'd bring me up. He said he'd come down, get someone to come get me, go to his office. We talk hockey for 10 minutes. We talk hockey baseball for an hour. So I developed a relationship with Lou. So when push came to shove, now I started negotiating on behalf of Scott.
Who is Lou's baseball team?
Lou, who is he?
I don't know. But Providence. He was in there. He played them. Cape Cod League. Yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah. He coached at Providence, big Providence guy back east. But I'll finish the story real quick. But because it's interesting as heck. And anyway, so I'm negotiating as a parent with Lou Lamoriello, and the agents are completely out of it because they've gone as far as they can, and Lou's pretty much told them to take a hike. And what I did is made it an issue of right or wrong. You know, hey, you got this one kid that's number one in points in 3 years, and you got other people making twice, if not three times as much money. And you know, it's not fair. It's not right. I made it right or not about money, right or wrong. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I don't know if you recall, but Scott's after his third year, he held out. You know, and his agents wanted me to send him to New Jersey. I said no, he's not going to go to Jersey unless he signed. I kept him here for one day, and believe me, pressure was on me. Like, you know, I'm just a parent, mm-hmm. not his agent. So he held it for one day, and Lou gives me a call. He says, hey, we got to give Scott in camp. I said, yes, we do. And he said, well, Scott, you know, he says, well, you take 1.2. And, you know, the thing with Scott, and I look back, he just wanted to be a millionaire. I think back, you know, that was him. And I sat him down. I said, Scott, I said, what do you think? And he said, sure. He says, I'll play for that. So it was a quick call. And it's funny because I called Lou, and I said, yeah, Scott will play for that 2.4. For 2 years, which took him into the arbitration year, and I knew. And so his agents, I called his agents, hey, it's done deal, go ahead and get the contract made up. So when I met the agents in November, that November, I remember just like it happened today, they came up to me, gave me a hug, and patted me on the back. He goes, we did a great job, Carlos. And I think back, you know, and by that time, Scott had made a comment that kind of, he said, well, Dad, he says, you know, he thanked me. He says, if it wasn't for you, I would have got screwed, you know. And then he's the one who says, Ellis, you might as well be my agent. And it's funny because that's how it started, thinking, well, I got nothing to do, you know. And it's a long story.
That led to the big deal.
Yeah. Then I became his agent, and, you know, it was easy. It was one of the easiest things I'd done, because I'd been in the Iron Workers Union. I was I'd run for business agent for a couple of years. I was on the executive board, and I got in on a couple of negotiations. So I had that experience a little bit, not at that level. But again, what I knew was that Scott was eligible for arbitration, and that, you know, you need an agent, but you really don't, because it's a lawyer thing. You know, the Players Association has their lawyers, the league has their lawyers, you submit a number, it can be a crazy number, and you know, so it's, you know I can handle that. I said, hey, you throw out a number, I had that figured out.
Plus he had the benefit of some good local attorneys, right. that had his back the whole time.
Exactly. So I had a lot of help.
Good people he could
talk to. It wasn't rocket science. I mean, just how I became an agent is a whole different story. When the suits brought me in their office, that's another story for another day. But that one's pretty nuts.
I like the way that when he was younger, you had totally hands off. you know,
definitely,
as a parent. But then when he became a professional, you sort of became a professional with
exactly,
him. Yeah, you know
exactly.
I mean?
No, I was blessed, and I actually represented two kids from the Aces, got them on the to the NHL. Chris Menard, you know, for the Pittsburgh, and then Charlie Lenglet for St. Louis. So I actually not had a knack, but I kind of liked it. But I, at the same time, I couldn't be an agent because I didn't want to leave Alaska, and it's such a cutthroat business. Now they have people at the rinks, and they sign everybody up. I mean, if they sign 100 kids and one makes it, hey, they're money ahead, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's a real, you know, bottom line, it wouldn't have worked out for me. But I kind of enjoyed it. It was neat, and, you know, and I wouldn't lie. That's if I have any money, that's where that came from. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Negotiated 3 contracts. Then when he signed into the big one for after 7 years with the Rangers, then I went ahead and gave him up, and just, you know, it was time. Me and my son were getting the relationship was starting to affect our relationship. All we did was talk about money, and
yeah,
you know, I could see the writing on the wall, and it was perfect timing. I said, "What do you think if we get somebody else?" He goes, "Oh yeah, I think, you know," he agreed, and I agreed, and that's when I started the foundation. I said, "You know, okay, now what am I going to do here in Alaska?" And, you know, that's how the foundation came
about. Well, in addition to the, you know, the Rams, what else does the foundation do? You know, we talked about some of the ranks they rebuilt.
Right. The foundation, now the Rams is our number one, well, now it's our number one priority.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could say the foundation gives them a grant of $50,000, and then they in turn raise the rest of the money. The Rams do. If you notice, they're always selling, you know, we lost a lot of money when the Aces went out of business. But we're like everyone else. We got raffles. We got a gaming permit, blah, 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 blah. Raffle at the fair. So right now our priority is the Rams. But when we first started, our first project was rebuilding the East 20th where Scott used to skate. Takesha, we lived 4 blocks from there, and that's where Scott learned to skate. So we rebuilt that one for the community with the help of the state. I mean, we didn't do it all. We got a grant from the state, and we supplied all the labor and come way under budget, and everybody was happy. Gave the community a brand new rink, and they actually named it after Scott.
Yeah,
Scotty Gomez Neighborhood Rink or something it's called, and that's where our Rams actually, that's our home rink. So that was our first project. Gave the community a brand new rink, and then after that, 4 years later, we rebuilt the 2 Mulcahy rinks, the outside ones. We're the ones that put that together. And like everything else, you know, everybody offered to help until we started doing the work. And in the end, the people that helped me were the Carpenters Union. Uh-huh. I happened to know their apprenticeship coordinator, and they used those 2 rinks as an apprenticeship tool.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the coolest thing because the ironworkers put in the rebar for me, and the carpenters put in the foundation, put in the frame, the
bars.
The ironworkers put in the bars, but in other words, they did everything. They mm-hmm. they used it as a training course.
Yeah.
They'd meet at the apprenticeship and then go out there and work all day. And they saved me. They saved me and the Parks Foundation a ton of money. Boy, they done me right. And then the city workers, some of them are hockey. They donated their time on Saturdays to, you know, the asphalt and quality asphalt was big partner of ours, big sponsors, and they, you know, everything fell in place, and we were able to do them 2 rinks in Mulcahy for under $300,000, if you can believe that. If you put it out for contract, it'd be 1.8 or something. I mean, it was just, you know, the city did real good by us, and if you look over there, I mean, there's, you know, that rink will stay 20 or 30 years, and I'm proud of that. Proud of the 3 rinks we put up for the community.
Yeah,
and we also give out money to, we just sent some money to Kodiak. You know, all our grants are $1,000, so we designate $10,000 to give to Homer Hockey Association.
Were you involved with a couple of years back getting some money in addition to Dick's Sporting Goods for, like, girls' high school hockey?
Right. What happened is that when girls' hockey, when the school district took girls' hockey out of the curriculum, we got involved. I was asked by the hockey community if I'd get involved, you know, take it over, or manage it, or help resurrect it, whatever the word you want to use. And I did it, you know, reluctantly, I guess, but I did it just because, you know, my question, why me? You know, obviously the trust was there. I'm not nothing special, but I can be trusted. And they thought, hey, you're the right guy. So having said that, once we resurrected the program, then the financial responsibility was all on us. And luckily, through our contacts, we were able to get a state grant that helped us first couple years. And through Scott's contact, we got another couple years from Dick's Sporting Goods Store. Mm-hmm. They gave us a couple hundred grand, you know, through Scott, which really, you know, made everything free for the girls' hockey. But so we did. We were proud of that. We, you know, it's been going on 5 years. But unfortunately, that's coming to an end because it's a $100,000 budget, and it's one or the other. We can't support both of them, you know, so we have to give that up. But having said that, those girls will form a girls' league, a girls' team to give them an outlet to play. We're not going to totally abandon them, but yeah, it's just funny. It's something we have to do. Same old thing. Your money, you can only stretch your money so far.
Yeah, I've talked to some of those girls because I coach a younger team, right. But I've coached some of the older ones too, and they like playing for their high school. It's a shame if that has to go away.
Yeah, it's a bummer, but then it goes back to the politics, you know, is that, you know, between us here, when we took over the girls, I didn't realize that, you know, when we took over, everybody was with us. Hey, we're going to help you. We're going to raise money. Don't worry about it. We got your back. Yeah. Well, when we resurrected it, you looked around, and even to this day, I haven't seen anybody. Nobody stepped up, you know. And so that was one of those things like, what did we get into, you know? Mm-hmm. There was a support from the other hockey organizations didn't come about. Case in point, you know, and I'm not going to mention names, but there's certain organizations, women's organizations, that won't allow their kids to play high school. Hmm. And so what, you know, why, I have no idea, but it's politics. And you know, it doesn't matter, but again, it's politics. But those groups are the ones that got high school taken, girls' high school taken out of the curriculum.
Well, that's a shame, yeah.
So, I mean, we're not going to, that's another topic. But having said that, the support from the hockey community has been crap when it comes to girls' high school hockey. And so consequently, it's turned into a house program. But that's okay also because, you know, a lot of girls that wouldn't have played are now playing high school. And again, where are they going to end up? They're going to end up in the beer league just with the girls that aren't playing. So, I'm kind of... It's a thorn in my side, but you know, I don't hold grudges. But the hockey community itself did not support the girls' high school hockey.
Yeah, that's a shame. Because kids want to put on their high school teams. Right. They want to put on a jersey with their high school name on it.
Yeah, it was cool because when the comp girls were playing high school hockey, even with the girls that started out, they're classmates. They were helping them out.
Exactly.
Everybody's having fun, which is what it's about. You know, that's the problem with the comp. Divisions, they get so damn competitive they forget, you know, what you're there for, which is to grow up, to be part of the school, be part of your student body. You know, that completely has gone out of it, and it's a shame. It's a shame. And you know, so that's another story for another day. But we were proud that we were able to, you know, at least give them another 5 years. And unfortunately, this is the last year for the girls' high school hockey as far as the Gomez Foundation being involved, because, you know, if we do, we're going to go broke. We can't support our association and girls' hockey. We just can't do it. So, you know, we're going to wave them goodbye, but at the same time, we'll form a girls' team where at least some of them we still continue to play.
Yeah, I was at the – I remember when – what was it, 2 or 3 years ago at Benboki when they had that ceremony. I was there with my daughter and her entire team to
That was cool. They've done us right, and you know, the girls have for 2 years haven't paid for anything, which is cool. And you know, anyway, they I can't, because of Scott's connections, I can't thank the Dick's Sporting Goods, you know, enough. I wish they were up here. Maybe they'd be one of our sponsors.
Yeah, for a while I'd heard that they were coming up. Yeah.
Yeah, that was just a rumor. Everybody assumed that I knew something. You know, they called me and they did a heck of a commercial. I don't know if you saw that one that they threw over their holidays. It was actually nationwide. It was filmed here at Benboki. Man, that was a great, you know, quality commercial. It was a tearjerker. It was awesome. So anyway, we've been involved in the hockey community and very proud of it, and we're still involved, and And, you know, like I say, our fundraising efforts aren't like they used to be. Not that we have so much money that we don't want to do it anymore. Just that, you know, I'm getting older and getting slower. I don't have the enthusiasm I have anymore, but we'll still continue it. It ain't going nowhere.
How's things going for your pond hockey for this season? That's coming up next month. Yeah, March.
Yeah,
March.
5 more weeks, March 10th, 9th, 10th, 11th. And, you know, last year we had 72 teams, so we're shooting for 72 teams.
I was somewhere at UAA, and I had heard that there were more teams this year.
Well, we're hoping. I mean, the tournament's geared for 100 teams.
Yeah.
Again, the first year was, the first 2 years was held at Goose Lake. 52 the first year, 50 the second year. We moved to Big Lake, which turned it into a party is what we did.
Yeah, that's what I...
We got the band, we got the karaoke this year. Fireworks, blah, 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 blah. And just being able to park on the lake, that's just the way I pictured it. You know, it's a party.
You know,
everybody's camping out and making a weekend out of it. So last year we ended up with 72 teams, and we actually made money. You know, we had the first 2 years we lost money, which, as you know, when you run a foundation, you're not there to lose money. When you're raising money, you're not supposed to lose money. So, but I really believe in it. I think this thing is big for Alaska. I've seen the one outside that we copied at Blaine, Minnesota, and these things are cool. And what I want to be is be part of the circuit. There's a circuit that goes nationwide, you know, Minnesota and Wisconsin and Canada, and I want to be the last one in the circuit.
That'd be great.
Because you know, might be the only state that we have a lake in March.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this year we advertised in the USA Hockey, and you know, we're putting our efforts into it. If it doesn't work, it's not because of lack of effort. Because if you've been out there, you know,
it's everywhere.
We try to run a first class operation, and so right now we still got 5 weeks to go, and we're at I think we're about 40 teams, so we're halfway there, and I think we're going to reach our goals of 70 teams hopefully with no problem. And you know, the key for me is how many teams from outside are coming. You know, last year we had 2 teams from outside, so you had 12 people spending money in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year we're shooting for 5. I don't know. We haven't any sign up yet. But if you have 5 teams sign up, 5 times 6 is 30. And then you can go to the valley and say, hey, look, there's 30 people up here for a week spending money. Because what's happening is, I want the Mattsu Valley to be a little more involved financially.
Mm-hmm.
This is all sponsor-driven, as you know, all events. Everybody's got sponsors. And luckily, we got fantastic sponsors.
Who are your sponsors?
That believe in hockey, that are more or less hockey-oriented. Linden's our big sponsor, title sponsor. They're for $25,000.
They're a great organization.
A lot of money.
Just across the board.
But we
know
we got Quality, Asphalt, Bill Engelson, and Fitzgerald Patrick. The lawyers, we got, I don't have that list on me, but Mike Davenport from Alaska Insulation. We got just a Subway. We got Played Again, the Ulu Factory. We got some PRA, Tom Walsh, big supporter of ours. We got a solid Fronger, Jay Fronger. I can go, I'm going blank here. Bob Bradley, you know, big sponsor of ours. Orthopedics, which one's Rebound?
Mm-hmm.
Our group, we got 14 sponsors. We got fantastic sponsors. And unfortunately, Alaska Container Crane from, Container. Alaska Especially. Containers from Big Lake.
Oh, Big Lake.
But we got 14 sponsors, okay, and 13 are from Anchorage and one's from the Valley. And that's where I'm, you know.
And the tournament's in the Valley.
In the Valley. So that's the Valley is, you know, I'm going to preach until I'm black and blue or to tell me to get the hell out of there. But, you know, I'm approaching the Valley saying, hey, this is where the money's spent. I'm asking for the support.
Even if it's not people from out of the state, even if you're bringing in a bunch of teams from Anchorage, they're still staying out there.
Well, I mean, you know, but that's anyway, that's for the Valley to decide. But now my campaign is speaking to the Valley. I made a presentation in Big Lake, and they're going to throw a few bucks into it. I go to the chamber. I became a chamber member for the Valley just to keep preaching them, you know. And if we get, I'm shooting for 5 teams from outside, 5 times 6. Now you got 30 people in the Valley spending money. And so my message to the Valley is this thing can be a fantastic event if they literally get behind it financially, because they're the ones that are making money off this thing. The rest of us are, you know, driving out there and spending money.
Yeah.
Right?
But, well, you give it time. It'll improve.
I believe in this thing. This thing is so cool. And again, we made money last year, and we're going to make money this year, and then it's going to only get bigger. And you bet.
Well, just like you were saying, you went out and looked at the model. Our friend Jimmy Dahl just came back from a plane outside in that 3-on-3 outdoor in Minnetonka, and I guess they play just like you do on a huge lake out there, and they've got.
If you've been to one, I mean, when I went down there. You know, just my jaw just dropped. Like, wow! Just the amount of people there, the activities, and you know, we're an infant. We're just starting out, but you know, Brookshore Marina is exactly where it needs to be. The owners, Nick and Katie, are really right on people. You know, Nick was an iron worker, so we hit it off real well, and they're the kind of sponsors or partners that I need in the morning. You know, they got fuel trucks. I mean, I pay for everything, but nevertheless, everything's available.
Yeah. And, Nick, talk a little bit about the tournament. You guys go out and shovel off the rinks or plow off the rinks.
What's happening, the way it's set up is I got my gang of volunteers, you know, that they've been with me from day one. I got a great support group. But we go up there and, lay out. The lake is zambonied. Mm-hmm. You know, like right now, you know, we got guys... sockeyed asphalt, you know, plowing. He's another sponsor. Plowing, just making it, you know, keeping it clean.
Mm-hmm.
And then right before it's time to set up the ice, which will be the first week of March, they zambone it, clean it up, and then the Carpenters Union goes in there for me and lays the rink out. So if you notice, they're you know, pretty.
How many rinks will you have?
We're going to have 13.
Whoa.
12 to play on and one for family rink. Mm-hmm. Or 11 to play on and two for family rink, because what happened last year, them family rinks are used all day long, because there's kids out there all day long. But what happened is you had older kids with bigger kids, with younger kids, you know, big, and they're all playing hockey, but big size difference. So we're going to make two rinks where 14 and under, or maybe 12 and under play on one rink, and you know, 14 and up play, you know, in the other rink. That way you don't get the little kids playing with the, you know, 13, 14-year-old kids.
Yeah.
So we're going to have two family rinks. But, yeah, we zamboni, and then we got, you know, forklifts, and we lay out, you know, drop-off boards, and we got a crew of guys that you know, stand them up, put one screw in, another crew. You know, it's just like a construction job. Hoping nobody, you know, last year I supplied everybody with them cleats, you know, because it's dangerous out there. I don't want anyone hurt. So, yeah, just it takes one day to put them together. Then the following day we, you know, touch them up, put signs up. Every sponsor gets a flag. And they get dashers, and you know, it's with volunteers, it's a piece of cake, you know, because I have enough volunteers that believe in what we're doing, and
it's not too late to get a team in if there's people out there that want to join.
AKPond.com. It's too easy. AKPond.com. And this year, what we did, we had 30 open teams, and you know, hockey's so damn competitive that you know. Some of the teams that should be in the elite group. We have an elite group for the guys that are elite.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of them guys are, you know, they don't consider themselves elite, but they're pretty damn good hockey players. So they play in the open. And the one complaint we've had the last couple of years is, hey, Carlos, we play in the open, you know, because we're just skaters.
Just want to have fun.
But they're getting their butts kicked. Nobody, you know, even though it's a tournament and you're supposed to have fun, you know, you still want to be able to compete. That's the key. Not win, but compete. So what we did this year is we took 10 teams from the open and made it a novice division for the beer, kind of like a beer league. Or if you're a novice and, hey, you're just starting out, here's a chance for you to at least compete anyway. And you know how it is. Some of them open guys are going to go into novice. But that's hockey. You can't get away with
sandbags.
Yeah.
But, and then what's funny is them rinks, once they're set up, we only zamboni one time in the evening. You know, zamboni, clean them up, or first thing in the morning, whichever the Big Lake Lions, they got the contract, whatever they want to do.
They're a great organization. Yeah, I worked with them this year on a couple things, man.
Bill Howler out there, I'll tell you. Between him and Nick and Katie from Brookshire, what a partnership. That guy, they're what I need. You know, people, I'm not a Valley guy. I mean, I've been up here, but, you know, I live in Anchorage. I lived in Anchorage all my 40-some-odd years up here. I mean, I love the Valley. I got friends up there, but I don't hang out. I hang out in Kenai. My automobile knows to take a left on the highway and off to Kenai. I'm not a Big Lake guy. I have no idea what's happening up there. But Bill Haller, I mean, Big Lake Lions Club, and it's funny because we gave him a grant. The foundation gave him a grant and helped him with his buying some rubber mats when he was building that thing. He's done a hell of a job out
there. The rink, you mean?
Yeah, the rink.
Yeah, that place is great.
And so we
yeah.
gave him a grant and helped him out. And, you know, 10 years later, he becomes a partner of mine, and he knows everybody up there. He's got contacts. And the bottom line, they're willing to work. You know, you get lets me borrow his help, and that's what you need up there. I got nothing but good things to say about the Valley. Now I'm looking for the businesses to step up and support this thing financially a little bit, and it can get bigger and better, you know. Yeah, but the rinks themselves, there's nothing. Every rink has 6 shovels. So yeah. during the day, there's actually 12 shovels per rink. No, 6? Yeah, 6. So the games are on half hour, so there's always a half hour between breaks. During that half hour, it's up to the 12 players that are playing the next game to shovel that rink, you know. So how clean do you want it? Now, we haven't had any snow where it snowed. Well, actually, we did one time, but you'd be surprised. People out there, everybody wants to help. Grabs a shovel, cleans the rink up, you know, and that's what's neat. You know, how clean do you want the rink? You know, yeah. get a shovel and get with it. It works out. It's a cool event. I'm really proud of it, and we're doing everything to make it one of the bigger events of the winter time. And
we saw that in our Alaska Warriors this tournament here this past weekend where Kimberly ran and got the shovels and everybody jumped in.
Yeah,
because exactly. After a while you chew up the ice too much.
And especially, you know, kids are so spoiled nowadays. It's a kid division. The parents are the ones that grab their shovels.
Yeah,
that's what we do, right?
When we were kids, we were shoveling. Yeah. It was a hockey stick over one shoulder and a shovel over the
and
other.
And the bottom line now, I you know, they know that, hey, you guys want to clean, because they're waiting for someone to clean the rink. Hey, it's our fourth year. Everybody knows, hey, you clean your own rink. If you're going to complain that it's, you know, it's not cleaned up, well, it's your fault. But no, everybody's got the hang of it. It is a cool tournament. Now with the, you know, we got the party on Saturday night, H3 band. Everything's free. Everything, again, is sponsored.
Once you get out there, yeah.
You get out there and camp out, and fireworks on Saturday night. And this year, because it's a weekend thing, people wanted some on Friday night. So Friday night we're going to do karaoke, and we're going to let the kids, it's a youth division on Friday, we're going to let them take the mic for 3.5 hours to become rock stars, right?
Yeah, and I've heard that local places that rent RVs have packages for teams from Anchorage that want to rent
an
RV, go out there and play.
Great Alaskan motorhomes, just right here on the highway. They're our sponsor also, and what they've done is in kind, they've given us 3 suppliers of 3 motorhomes for our gang up there, and they're giving a hell of a deal for a package deal for the Pawnee. So they're a legitimate sponsor of ours. Our website takes you directly to them. Of course, you can get away wherever the hell you want, but nevertheless,
it's nice they're doing that. Yeah,
we're pushing them. They've done us right, and we're hoping to get some business out of it.
Oh, I had another question for you. If there's people out there that have gear that want to donate to the Gomez Foundation for your house team, how do they do that?
Yeah, they just have to, you know, everybody knows my number. Just get a hold of me, or, you know, just call me, and I'm always picking up stuff. And you know, and it's cool. People, we had the dangest donation the holidays. We got donated $28,000 worth of gear. Okay. From an outfit that some warehouse that been keeping in their warehouse. They used to supply a sporting goods store, but they kept in their warehouse for years. This thing was old. And so make a long story short, they call me, and I never had a donation like that. And they said, Carlos, do you accept gear? I said, yeah. I said, no problem. Would you take this donation? I said, yeah, most certainly. They donated 12 pallets of gear, but the catch was that 90% of it, 90% of it was girls' hockey skate. No, girls' figure skates. and so what do you do, you know? And,
yeah.
And so anyway, make a long story short, for 2 weeks I was donating, you know, hockey figure skates. Homer got some. Noam got some. Big League got some. I think Cody, I got some. Noam and Barrel. And what's happening, this stuff was so old. I'm going to show you this. You're going to laugh. This stuff was so old. had been in their shack some of the, like 17 years. They just kept putting it off, and pretty soon they couldn't sell it.
Yeah.
And they kept it, just hoarders, just like I am. And at the end, they call me, and I'm going to show you the box of skates that they came in, and you're going to laugh because these skates were outdated. The only ones that would take them, the only ones we could send them was Barrel. They took everything.
Yeah.
Anything related to hockey, they took it. But when you see the box, you'll realize how old this stuff was.
And if you send that picture to Ron and I, we'll put it up with the podcast.
I mean, it's comical. But, I mean, that's that's what we get, donations. This is the package of the ice skates.
Okay. Oh. Canadian Flyer. I mean, yeah, that is classic.
That's classic. And I was going to show you. I'm going to show you my gear shack that we have. STG is one of our sponsors,
mm-hmm.
and we use their shack as our gear shack. They donate their old office, but that gives you an example of how old. That's just part of the skates that are against the wall, but they're all women's figure skates. But
8 pallets.
8 pallets. I mean, no, it was 12 pallets. Our room. We could not. There's the pallets when I got the donation.
Jesus.
When I got the, you know, that's just part of it. Now, in the shack, we had to empty out everything, and it just took the whole shack. It was. But you know, it was. Again, figure skates. Everybody made out like bandits with figure skates. I'll show you.
How many years has the pond hockey tournament been going on?
This is our fourth year.
Yeah.
Two years at. At Big Lake, I mean at Goose Lake, and this is our second year.
And then how many years have you been doing the high school one?
High school, 5 years for the girls. And then the Rams organization, which is our hockey organization, this is the inside of the shack. Now, keep in mind, this is the front, and it goes all the way to the end. Just nothing but gear that we got donated.
Wow.
In the end, if you were to price it out, which they did, it was $28,000 worth of gear. But 9 out of 10 was girls hockey figure skates.
Yeah,
and these were, you know, skates at that time. They were.
It looks like the upstairs at Sport King in Fairbanks.
They were Kerrigan skates. They were top notch. But I'm going to show you the skates that we got that you couldn't. Nobody in Anchorage could, you know, would be caught dead with one. These are what the skates look like, the Canadian Flyer.
Oh yeah.
So what happened is we sent all those to Bear. We sent like 50 pairs of skates to Barrel. But hey, they said helmets, outdated helmets, you can't wear those.
Holy
but,
cow, that is an old looking hockey skate.
Again, we looked at one of the packages.
Yeah.
And it said 17 years old the box were. That's how long this stuff has been. So it was damn near because we have connections and I know people and hey, I got free gear, but God, for a couple of weeks, I tell you, I felt like a shoe salesman, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, in Barrow, if you're not going to skate every day, but if you want to go out once, you're going to have fun on those.
They said,
you know?
Hey, you know, send it up there, and lucky for them, my daughter's boyfriend, the Wildermuth, they have a store up there, they have contacts, and they said, well, you know, through their contacts, they said, we'll take everything. Everything he gave us, so we gave anything have to do with hockey, and then split between them and Talkeetna. So, you know, the state really did real good. But again, for 2 weeks, it drove me crazy because it just shut me down for 2 weeks. I was
going through old gear.
At the end, a Native corporation, my daughter works for one of them, and they're selling coffee as a fundraiser. I said, hey, why don't you let me set up? I said, let me set up, and whoever gets some coffee, I'll give them a pair of skates. And so they got a hold of me, and they said, Mr. Gomez says, do you have, you know, rumor has you got skates. She goes, can we, you know, do you mind donating some of them? And I said, I'm going to donate to you. This is after 2 weeks, I was just burned out. I said, I'm going to donate to you with a condition that you take it all. That's all I left. I said, I'll give it to you. There's some good stuff, but they had some skates in there.
But everything has to go.
They had some skates in there that, you know, them double blade.
Yeah.
And then suckers were old. And the bottom line, they said, we'll take them. So at the end, they.
Double runners.
Yeah, I remember those.
Those things.
When you first learned
they're obsolete. I mean, but for this was my last load. That's at the Native Corporation. I said, I will, but you got to take it all. And that was my last load.
That's
of
a
gear.
Truckload.
That was my last load.
Yeah,
of
you got to send us these so I can put them up, because the worst thing you want to do on a podcast is talk about pictures.
Yeah, for sure. I get sidetracked real easy, but that's what we do. We donate. We're donated, and we donate to the community. And like I say, anybody that's using figure skates, did real good this year.
Do you need volunteers yet at the pond hockey if there's people that want to volunteer?
Yeah,
I heard
we're looking,
you were looking for,
we're
too.
We're looking for the officials actually are the only ones that get paid. Mm-hmm. So they get a hold of Doug Roberts. He's the one that...
He was the guy I was talking to yesterday.
Right, he's the one that is in charge of the refs. And everything else out there is volunteers, mm-hmm. but the refs do get paid $15 an hour. And then... we are taking volunteers for Saturday because, again, I want to make it a Valley thing. Mm-hmm. So to set up the rinks, we're setting them up on Saturday. And I want to get most of the volunteers from the Valley because, again, my Anchorage guys are starting to get burned out and they got to drive up there and drive back. And, a lot of Valley people say, we used to put the rinks on Monday and Tuesday. And a lot of Valley people say, if you did it on weekend, we'd help you. But guess what?
No, it's the weekend. We'll see, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it a two-day event?
It's a one Saturday, which is Saturday the 3rd or 2nd or 3rd.
I'm not sure, yeah.
Yeah, the hockey tournament's 3 days.
3 days.
Friday, okay. Saturday, and Sunday. We're putting the rinks up March 2nd or 3rd. That's Saturday. I think it's the 3rd.
I can make that for you.
And
of
March.
So on Friday, so first, if you enter the tournament there with a team, you're playing
Saturday and
Sunday. You're guaranteed three or four games.
Four games easy, yeah.
Four games? Sure, yeah. And the games are they similar, 20-minute games?
March 3rd is Saturday.
March 3rd. Saturday is when we're setting up the rinks, and we are looking for volunteers in the Valley. Usually it takes about 20 people. We got guns, and just more or less just you're out there, I call from the neck down. We don't want you to think. Just we don't want the people to know it all. Just lay out some boards and put some screws and as far as the hockey, it's 30-minute games. There's no goals. There's some boxes with little rat holes.
Yeah.
And you think 30 minutes, that's not enough. But I tell you, 30 minutes of and it's competitive.
It wears them out.
You just can't take the...
30 minutes is a long time when there's no stops.
Yeah, by the end of the half hour, boy, they're ready for their...
Well, and how many games are you playing then a day?
They're playing at least two or three four game minimum. I think they end up playing about five games until the divisional, the champion rounds on Sunday. But the kids' division, U18, U14, and U10, something like that. I forget what the poster says. They play on Friday. We get the youth division on Friday, get them out of the way, and then it's party on with the adults on Saturday and Sunday. By 9:30, the kids have to be out of the tent on Saturday because of alcohol. And then we got the band, the H3, and fireworks. It's a cool thing.
Sounds like a good event.
It's a cool way to spend the weekend.
Well, I know you got to get back, and Ron and I, the party I can hear starting over next door for the Awards of Excellence. But I wanted to thank you personally because Ron and I worked on that Alaska Warriors tournament and didn't know what the hell we were doing our first year. But it was nice having you come at the end and kind of help us out with a couple of things.
Right. The only thing I can do to help, again, I get sidetracked real easy. But there's a lot to talk about. I'm proud to be part of the hockey community. I've done my time. I'm really proud of the organization, and we've been able to give back to hockey. And we've talked about it, not only putting kids on the ice, but building rinks. And we do support other organizations. And I receive donations. A lot of the donations are trash, and I empty the trash for them, kind of like
Yeah.
It's funny that it's all good. We don't turn anything down. And if we can't use it, there's always Talkeetna is always willing. Kodiak just got started.
Yeah, that alone, just the fact that you're cycling gear to places that need it. Because a lot of people have gear, and they don't know what to do with it.
And some people, just say, Carl's, just happen to, they want to take their kids out to skate, and they're not really part of the organization. But if we have it, go ahead. I'll meet them over there, fix them up, and off they go. And next thing you know, the following year, they're signed up for hockey. And that's the neat thing about it.
You're promoting a great winter sport in this state.
Yeah.
And it keeps kids busy, and
hockey's
a great winter sport.
And it's true what they say, it's a dumb cliche, but hockey's for life.
Yeah.
So once you play hockey,
it sure has been.
Well, they got 80, 90-year-old.
Yeah, I just got back from Victoria. We were playing. Frank Nosek was there, you know, and Frank played on our team, and he's 82 years old.
Yeah, and still competitive.
Oldest guy in the tournament.
Yeah. So if anybody like is listening to this and they have gear and you can't get a hold of Scott, you can get a hold of Ron and I or get a hold of AGC. Yeah. We'll get you Scott's information. And if you have kids that want to play and you've been thinking, you know, it's too expensive, the Gomez Rams are a great place to start.
Right. You know, a lot of kids start with us and, you know, God bless them. They move on to bigger and better things, but they start with us. It's very affordable. No problem with gear, and it's good gear. You know, we don't give them no cheap stuff. And give them a stick and cut them loose. And again, I'm proud to say that five of our kids are women. That we got three girls. Three of our girls are skating comp now. Hmm. And we got three of our boys skating comp. And, you know, which, again, I'm not saying we're a feeder program, but without us, those kids never would have got started. And that makes me feel tremendously.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks so much.
Ron, thank you, buddy.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Alaska Works Podcast, brought to you by a generous contribution from the Construction Industry Progress Fund and the Associated General Contractors of Alaska.